We shall turn to the Word of God in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, and we will read from verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Especially the words at the beginning of verse 10, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. This is the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. And what a petition that is brought before us in its essential nature. Just as we've heard before that prayer is defective when it does not include confession, so it seems that prayer is defective when it does not include reference to the coming kingdom of Christ. And indeed, the more we look at the Lord's Prayer, we feel that all our prayers are wanting, and how far we have to go to pray in a right manner. Well, that is what we are seeking the Lord for, that we would learn, that we would be taught how to pray. As the disciples said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, may we depend upon the Holy Spirit this evening as we consider the second petition in the Lord's Prayer, which is, Thy kingdom come. And we will notice, first of all, with the Lord's help, the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, and this is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the one who is the appointed king of Zion, the kingdom of God. And secondly, let us consider the coming of his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And thirdly, the desire for the coming of his kingdom. And let us ask ourselves, is it our desire that the kingdom of God would come? So first, the kingdom of God, and secondly, the coming of his kingdom, and thirdly, the desire for the coming kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Now God has a kingdom over the world, over the universe, and it is his providential kingdom. And it is his preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. And we are not so much praying that this aspect of his kingdom would come, unless we mean that we're praying that people would more and more recognize that God rules over all. He indeed rules over all already. But what we are praying for is that in regard to his spiritual kingdom. And that spiritual kingdom of God is the rule of God in the heart of man, basically. It is God's kingdom, and as we said, God has appointed his Son to be king in this kingdom. We read in Psalm 2, verse 6, Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. So, more specifically, it is the mediatorial reign of Christ in the hearts and lives of his people. This is the spiritual kingdom of Christ. A kingdom requires a king, and the king is Christ. A kingdom is a community ruled by a king. And so it is the king's rule and realm, including his people. And it is the people of God ruled by Christ, their king. And this is the kingdom of God's dear Son. It is God's sovereign power that brings about salvation, and it is this kingdom that brings salvation. God is the author of salvation, and he has appointed his Son, Jesus Christ, as the Redeemer of his elect. He has chosen his Son to be the mediator between God and man, to be the prophet, priest, and king of his people. And so the reign of Christ brings the blessings of salvation. And what encouragement we have then to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Now, the kingdom of God existed from the very beginning as to its inward reality in the hearts and lives of his people. From the very beginning, when the first promise was embraced, and when people began to call upon the name of the Lord, as to the inward reality of the kingdom of God, it existed from the beginning. And then when Christ came in the fullness of time, well, he speaks about the kingdom of God being at hand. "Repent ye and believe the gospel." And sometimes Christ speaks of the kingdom as having already come, when he says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." So in regard to the person of Christ and his public ministry, the kingdom of God had come. But as to the dispensation of his kingdom, the visible organization of the kingdom of Christ, that commenced after he arose from the dead, after he ascended into heaven. And by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, then it was evident that Christ was reigning. His kingdom had come. The kingdom of God was being established. And he sent out his ministers to preach the gospel to every creature, gathering a people to himself to be the subjects of the king. So the kingdom of God was established when the Spirit was poured out and the apostles were sent out to preach the gospel, and there were wonderful fruits of their labors in their missionary endeavors. But still we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And the kingdom of God is still coming in the sense that the whole world has not yet been conquered for Christ. And we are praying for that day when the kingdom of God would encompass the whole world. And so that day will come, and we're to pray that it will come. And we will be praying, God's people will be praying, "Thy kingdom come," until the last elect person has been brought into the kingdom. And it is then that the kingdom of God will be consummated in heaven. The kingdom of God and God's people in the kingdom will be brought to perfection. Let us ask ourselves, are we in the kingdom now? Are we in the spiritual kingdom of Christ? Is he reigning over our hearts and lives even this moment? Well, let us consider in the second place the coming of his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Secondly, the coming of his kingdom. And the Shorter Catechism answers this question, what do we pray for in the second petition? And we are praying that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. And notice that we are not praying, "Thy kingdom come," as if his kingdom had not come yet, that it has not been established yet. It has been established. It is being set up. And we're to pray that the kingdom of grace would be advanced, that the kingdom would be advanced. May thy kingdom come and be set up more and more. Well, the larger catechism is a very helpful guide as to what we are praying for in the second petition, "Thy kingdom come." And it begins with, of course, the destruction of Satan's kingdom. When we are praying for the advance of Christ's kingdom, we are certainly praying for the decline and the destruction of Satan's kingdom. And we are acknowledging that we by nature are in Satan's kingdom, that mankind by nature is under the dominion of sin and Satan. And so we pray that the kingdom of sin and Satan may be destroyed. Satan has a usurped dominion over the world. He is called the god of this world. He's ruling over the kingdom of darkness. And we're praying that the kingdom of Satan would be destroyed. And that is what we pray for, its utter destruction. That Satan would be bound, that sinners would be saved and delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We pray that Antichrist would be consumed, and that the beast and the false prophet would be cast into the lake of fire, and that false religion would be rooted out, and every system of error would be removed from the world, and that Christ would reign till all his enemies be made his footstool. Christ will reign, and it's his kingdom, the kingdom of grace that we're praying would be advanced, which means that we're praying that sinners would be converted. Are you praying that you would be converted? Are you praying earnestly that you would be brought into the kingdom of Christ truly and spiritually? So we're praying that people would be converted, they would be brought into the kingdom of Christ, and that they would be kept in it, they would be preserved by the grace of God. Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." So when we pray for that the kingdom of God would come and the kingdom of grace be advanced, we're praying for the preservation of God's people, that they would be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, again, is this our desire? Are we praying that the gospel would be preached? That's what we're to be praying for. The gospel would be propagated throughout the whole world. As Christ commanded his servants, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And we're also to be praying for the conversion of the Jews. "Thy kingdom come." And the larger catechism puts that amongst the first things that are prayed for in the second petition, the conversion of the Jews. So we pray that God would open their eyes, that he would remove the veil from their hearts when the law of Moses is read to them. And we're praying that the spirit of grace and of supplications would be poured out upon them. As a nation, they have rejected the Messiah that has come to his own. For 2,000 years almost, they have rejected him as a people. And we pray that as a nation and people, they would come to Christ. They would embrace the Messiah. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But let us pray that his own people as a nation would come to him. And when the Jews come to Christ, it will be like life from the dead for the rest of the world. It will be the Jews' conversion will be a means of spiritual blessing for the Gentiles. And as it has been put, there will be glorious consequences for the whole world when the Jews as a people and nation are converted. Thy kingdom come. And we're also to pray for the fullness of the Gentiles to be brought in, because that precedes the conversion of the Jews. Paul speaks of that, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. The Jews as a nation will not be converted until the heathen are converted, when the mass of Gentiles will be converted. It's not that every Gentile will be saved, but the body of Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, be brought in. Thy kingdom come. What a glorious day that will be for the world, when both Jews and Gentiles as nations will be converted. And no longer will we be saying, "Well, that's a Muslim nation, that's a Hindu nation." But all the nations will be Christian nations. They will all come under the banner of Christ the King. And when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're praying for the building up of the church. As the Catechism puts it, that the church would be furnished with all gospel officers and ordinances. So we're to pray that Christ would provide office bearers for his church. As we read the promise in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Pray for ministers to be sent forth to preach to congregations, to provide as a means spiritual nourishment, preaching the word, which is food for the soul. We're to pray for elders and deacons to be raised up to hold office in the church for the for the promotion of the spiritual well-being of the church and the temporal affairs of the church. Well, let us pray that God will raise up those whose supreme interest is the growth of the church, and that will be useful in building up the church. Not only those who hold office, but all of God's people, they will seek to be useful in various ways in the church. And we're praying also for the purging of the church, as the Catechism puts it, that the church would be purged from corruption. So we should pray that God would keep the church from false teaching, that ministers would not preach error, but preach the pure doctrines of God's word and all the counsel of God. I remember speaking to some African students for the ministry, and they told me that they have the gospel in Africa, but they don't have the pure gospel in Africa, and that's what is needed. There are many Christians in Africa by name. Someone told me that Nigeria has more Christians than all of Europe. That may be so. But is it the pure teaching? Is it the pure gospel that is being preached? And when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're praying that the church would be purged from corruption. And probably that would include discipline, that appropriate discipline would be administered in the church. It's God's kingdom. It's Christ's government in his church. And that's what we're to be praying for. That there would be faithful discipline in the church as well. And that love would reign, that God's people would have grace, they would have wisdom and patience and love and joy. And we pray that the civil magistrate would be maintaining the church in his own jurisdiction in the way that he can. Praying for the civil magistrate, those who have authority, we're to be praying for them in general, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, pray for all those who have authority over us, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And so we're to pray that the rulers of the land would not be like Herod, oppressing, mistreating the church and the members of the church, but that they would rather help the church in every way that they can in their own province and jurisdiction, protecting those that do well and punishing evildoers, and that the nation's resources would be distributed with the interests of the church in view. We're to pray that the ordinances of Christ would be purely dispensed, that is, that preaching and baptism and sacraments of the Lord's Supper would be administered appropriately and purely, and that false ways of worship would be not tolerated. Musical instruments would be taken out of the church building and the Psalms of David sung exclusively, and that feast days would be permanently abolished in the worship of God, and the preaching of the word would be attended upon diligently. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It is God's ordinance for the conversion of sinners. And so we are praying, "Thy kingdom come," that the Lord would bless the ordinances to that end, that preaching would be blessed for the conversion of sinners. Let us pray for this when the gospel is preached amongst ourselves and in other places by other ministers, that wherever the faithful ministers go out to preach, God would bless the ordinance for the conversion of sinners, and that baptism would be blessed as a means of salvation, that the subjects of baptism, children, older ones, would reflect about the fact they're baptized, and they would seek to be inwardly baptized in their souls, that they would be spiritually united to Christ. The baptism would be made a seal of their adoption and remission of sins and engrafting into Christ. Finally, we're to pray for the building up of the saints in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Pray for the confirming of God's people, that they would know that they are God's people, that their graces would be increased, and the graces of wisdom and faithfulness and a desire of well-doing, all of these graces would would grow in their souls and in their experiences, and that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper would be blessed to their nourishing and their strengthening, their doubts would be removed, and that they would be bold in their profession of faith in Christ, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, resisting the world, the flesh, and the devil, and gaining the victory over sin, growing in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, as the Catechism puts it, the larger Catechism, we're praying that Christ would rule in our hearts here on earth. Christ would rule in our hearts. It's the reign of Christ, it's the mediatorial authority of Christ that we are to pray would be submitted to when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," and that all the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Remember, he is the King, and he exercises kingly power. And when we think about the office of king, the kingship of Christ, where we acknowledge that Christ executeth the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. And so we pray that he would rule in our hearts. He would subdue us to himself, making us willing in a day of his power to submit to him and serve him, and that we would serve him more and more. "Thy kingdom come," the kingdom of grace be advanced, until we are brought at last to be with Christ himself in glory, which is far better. And so when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we pray that the kingdom of glory would be hastened. The kingdom of glory would be hastened. And it's not two different kingdoms, kingdom of grace, kingdom of glory, but it's two different states or conditions of the same kingdom. That the kingdom of grace would be consummated in a kingdom of glory. As it is said often, grace is glory begun, and glory is grace consummated, grace perfected. That's glory. When grace comes to perfection, that's a glorified state. And so we are praying for this, praying that the second coming of Christ would be hastened. The Lord's people love the Lord's appearing. They desire him to make haste, and be thou like a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices, that Christ would come and he would exalt his people in himself, that they would reign with Christ in glory forever. They will sit with him in his throne. And we read in Revelation 22, verse 5, "For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Jesus will tell his people, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And so we're to pray in the meantime that Christ would rule over all, for that which will be conducive, in a way that would be conducive to bringing all of these things to pass. The gospel preached, ordinances administered, the king's rule in the favor of the church, that God would rule over all and govern all things, so that all of this would come to pass. "Thy kingdom come." For he is the governor among the nations. Well, are these our desires? Are these specific requests what we desire to make known to the Lord in our prayers? And so, in the third place, let's think for a moment about the desire, the actual desire for the coming of the kingdom of God. "Thy kingdom come." Remember, true prayer is the offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. God's people love the king. They love his reign. And so they will heartily concur with the duty of praying, "Thy kingdom come." Why do God's people desire the kingdom of God to come? Well, for one thing, their own personal interest. Because believers are oppressed by the enemy. When the kingdom of Satan is strong, well, believers are being downtrodden. But they pray that the kingdom of grace will be advanced, that God's mighty hand will be lifted up, and therefore they will desire that God's power will be manifest, and they will long for that in the kingdom of God. And they desire to see the conversion of others. Believers long to see their loved ones and others converted, and they will therefore pray, "Thy kingdom come," which means that sinners will be converted to God, brought into the kingdom by faith in Christ and the new birth. And also, believers hate the kingdom of Satan. They hate evil. They hate what offends their master. So they are zealous to oppose what opposes Christ. And God's people desire to see evil systems eradicated, false religion rooted from the earth. None of God's people truly want anyone to suffer, but they desire the destruction of Satan's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Christ's kingdom will come, and Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. And above all, God's people love the honor of the king. And they know that the extension of the kingdom of God will bring honor to the king. They love the honor of Christ. And they are praying, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And God's people desire the blessings of salvation that the kingdom of God brings. The reign of Christ brings innumerable, inestimable blessings of grace and salvation. So when the kingdom is established, well, it will exalt, it will bring honor to God, and it will bring blessedness to God's people. And so we should ask, is this our desire? Do we desire the glory of God? Do we desire the advance of grace in our own souls? And let us then pray earnestly for the coming kingdom of Christ, and pray to be ready for that. When the kingdom is being more and more established and the church is enlarging her borders, will we be ready? Will we be useful? Will we be ready to welcome others into the kingdom, as it were? When others are growing in grace, will we be growing in grace? Will we desire to be more and more righteous in our souls and live more closely to the Lord? Are these our desires? Well, the Apostle Peter tells us that we should be ready. He says, "We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Let us pray earnestly for these things. Let us pray continually. As the church prayed without ceasing for Peter, let us pray without ceasing for the coming kingdom of God. And we might think that our prayers are pitiful, and who are we? Perhaps we're not office bearers, or we're not very useful in other things. It doesn't matter. Can we pray? Do we have a desire to pray at all? Well, pray, "Thy kingdom come." This might be a great encouragement to others who do hold office. It was said of Melanchthon, the great friend of Martin Luther. He was once going to a particular place to perform a service for the Lord, and he was doubting and fearing about it. But then he heard a little group of poor women and children praying for the prosperity of the church. And Melanchthon took great encouragement from that, going forward in his duty, even because this little group was praying for the kingdom of God to come. Well, let us all pray, "Thy kingdom come," and pray continually, and pray that the office bearers would be earnest in prayer as well. As we read in Isaiah 62, verse 6, "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Thy kingdom come. Christ is the King. And are we his subjects? Whose side are you on? We're either in Satan's kingdom spiritually, or we are in Christ's kingdom spiritually. You may all be in the visible church, visibly. And as wonderful as that is, great privileges are enjoyed. It's not sufficient to salvation. What does God see and hear? Are we in the invisible church? Are we in the spiritual kingdom? Is the kingdom of God being erected and set up in our hearts? Pray that you would be delivered from Satan's kingdom, plucked out of his kingdom, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, and that you would press into the kingdom and pray that the kingdom of God would be advanced in your own soul, that you would be truly born again, have real faith in Christ, that you would be prepared for anything that may occur, and especially the advance of the kingdom of grace and the hastening of the kingdom of glory. Hear the gospel call, come out from among them and be ye separate, and be a loyal subject of the King, a son, a daughter of the King. Hearken, O daughter, and regard, and do thine ear incline. Likewise forget thy father's house and people that are thine. Then of the King desired shall be thy beauty vehemently, because he is thy Lord, do thou him worship reverently. Thy kingdom come, may this be our desire, and may the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Mr. Port, pray.